hope that you have had an opportunity to get a sheet and to be filling it out. This is, I believe, our third or our fourth week on this this sheet that is dealing with some false teaching regarding end things, end of time and so forth, and when the Lord returns and things that are going to transpire at His return. And so I hope that you benefited and kind of tested yourself as to whether or not you're in a position right now to be able to just open up the Bible at any given moment and give a defense for the truth. Maybe someone presents some of these false teachings to you. You need to be able to show them what the Bible says. How equipped are we to be able to do that? You know, many times, and it's great for us to know, as I've stated, that yes, I know the Bible says that. But what I want to challenge all of us is to be able to say, if someone were to present some of these false teachings, I could help them by any given time, no matter where I'm at, whether I have my Bible or I use their Bible, to show them from the Bible an answer, to teach them the truth regarding these things. And I think we're all in agreement that we need to be able to do that. I mean, you think about things like the gospel plan of salvation. If you're a Christian, you've obeyed that. But if someone were to say, well, you need to accept the Lord into your heart, you know that that's contrary to the Bible. But could you take the Bible and show them book, chapter, and verse for how one becomes a Christian? You did that. I did that. So we need to be able to show someone. So that's really what this class is intended to do, is to help each of us do that. I think that we are on number 6 on the back side of your sheet. Know that we talked about the false teaching that Jesus will reign on the earth for 1,000 years, and we're learning hopefully from one another. I enjoy listening to the answers and the things that you put on your sheet. I don't think there's any more in the back. Alex, but here's... Does anyone else need one? I've got a few extra.
Alex, will you get one?
Anyone else? Well, we talked about the fact that when Jesus returns, what is going to happen with the earth? It's going to be destroyed, right? Well, how do you know that it's going to be destroyed? How do you know that? Say it again.
The Bible tells us.
Well, the Bible tells us that that's true. And again, one of the things that we're doing in this class is being able to show where the Bible says that. And the ones I just gave you, I think I gave you the one on salvation instead of the one on end times. That's a previous one we did. If that's okay, you can have that and study it. And be sure to get with me and I'll give you a copy of the one for tonight.
2 Peter 3:10.
The Lord is going to come back. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And the heavens and the earth will be dissolved, melt away, and so forth. So how in the world is the Lord going to set up a kingdom on the earth when the earth isn't going to be here?
It's going to be a new earth. A new heavens. I just had somebody tell me that a couple of days ago. That's why.
I think those passages, Bill, about Titus chapter 1, verse 2, and the book of Colossians chapter 1, where he talks about the hope which is laid up for us in heaven. Not on the earth, but in heaven. All right, number 6. Someone may say, well, there will be a tribulation period at which time the lost will have another chance to be saved. Now, that's right, Paul. But most people have heard about this battle of Armageddon that so many in the religious world talk about, and the tribulation period, and we've already dealt with the rapture. I think a good effective way to show that is not the case is to show them a timeline of Bible events so far as the New Testament and the end comes. We're not going to back up to the Old Testament, but from the time of Christ on the cross and going forward. And so here we have the gospel, and it's a Christian age, right? We talk about those three dispensations of time. Christian age or dispensation. And that'll last for how long? To the end of life. The patriarchal age, it lasted the giving of the law and the law of Moses until Jesus died on the cross, Colossians 2 and then verse 14. It'll last until the end. But what's going to happen over here when the end comes? What's going to determine the end?
Christ comes back.
Yeah. When Jesus comes again, right? That's the end. But then what's going to take place? You tell me. The resurrection, when the Lord returns. The judgment. At that point, and of course, the saved will go to heaven, and the lost will go to hell. Both those, by the way, are real places. But those in the denominational world don't believe that many times, especially if they subscribe to this false teaching of premillennialism that says that Jesus is going to return, and when Jesus returns, He's going to establish or build an earthly kingdom. And the Bible doesn't teach that. Well, but we got to know how we can point that out to them. Does everyone have this at once? You already know that, right? Anyone not understand that? Or you say, I believe it differently.
Donnie, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, too, when it finishes up, we'll just read the whole verse. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, talking about the dead Christ, the bride, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord.
Good. That word always, you think that's significant?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. Good. I'll give you a little outline. Maybe I've handed this out in a previous class. And if you'd like to have it, you don't have a copy, let me know. Make you a copy of it. This is what premillennials believe. Of course, they believe Jesus died on the cross, and they call this the church age. And just run on over. It's a resurrection, I'm going to abbreviate, of righteous. Remember we talked about the rapture? I believe the rapture is going to take place, and in this 7 years in paradise. And during that time, while the saved have been raptured away on the earth, it's going to be this great tribulation period. And those that want to obey the gospel during this time have a chance to do that. But then the Lord is going to come back again. There's going to be a resurrection. And He's going to set up an earthly kingdom for 1,000 years and reign on the earth. A lot of well-known TV evangelists believe that. Jack Van Impe and John Hagee. You probably saw the big signs he has behind him when he's preaching on TV. That's what he believes. And so we need to be familiar with that. And then at this time, there's going to be a judgment at the end of that period, and then heaven and hell. Well, there's a problem with that. Who knows what the problem is? It's not true. The Bible doesn't teach that. But you think about what that suggests. I know we're taking a lot of time on this one, but think about what that suggests. That here the gospel is being preached, and people are obeying it or disobeying. Not obey the gospel. They die or are raptured away. There's a resurrection of the righteous when the rapture takes place. The living are left behind that are not saved. They go through a tribulation period, but during that 7 years they can obey the gospel.
And go back teaching.
And then there's another resurrection at the end of that.
So there's a tribulation period, they're saying, and then a 1,000-year reign?
That's right. 7 years of tribulation after the rapture, then at the end of that 7 years, He'll come back and set up His kingdom for 1,000 years.
I've heard nobody say there'll be a lots of war in that 1,000 years.
And at the end, great battle of Armageddon. So I'm interested to know what you put on your sheet. Now, this is what they believe, many of them, and I'm not going to use a broad brush and say everyone in the denominational world believes that. But how are you going to deal with that, that there's going to be a tribulation period at which time the lost will have another chance to be saved?
I'm not going to live in the tribulation period now. Well, Hebrews 9:27 says the point is to die once, and after that, the judgment.
One wants to die or die once and then the judgment. We do have tribulation now. There's no doubt about that.
2 Peter 3:10 says that the elements and earth will be burned up. It'll be gone. Of course, I guess they say that happens after the 1,000-year reign or whatever, but there won't be an earth after the day of the Lord.
And a passage that comes to my mind too with that, Luke 16, verses 19 and following. Here was a rich man and a poor man that died. We've recently talked about them. Well, is the rich man going to have an opportunity to come back and redo what he didn't get right the first time?
Couldn't even come back to warn his brothers.
The bad thing about it is when you get to start talking to these people and you go to these verses, that they cannot, they don't even know why they believe what they believe. That's the truth. They just say, well, that's what the church is teaching, and that's what they, whatever church they happen to be in at the time, that's the church. And so, because I've talked to several people, and they truly have no idea even why they believe it. They can't prove it, so they just believe it.
And many times it's just maybe perhaps what they've heard, and that's not to say that they're not sincere in what they're believing. Maybe they are. Sincerity does not establish religious truth, does it?
What I usually do in that situation, as at the hospital with the patient who was a preacher, he was watching something where he's talking about the black horse and the white horse, Armageddon, all that stuff, and he was about all that stuff. I said, everybody you talk to has a different version of this. I said, let's talk about how you get there. I said, whether it's back again on this earth, heaven, or wherever. I said, let's talk about how to get there. I said, and I kind of stopped the conversation.
Okay. What else did you get for number six? Again, this is one of those that we've looked at before where if someone is saying that this is what the Scriptures teach, then whose court is the ball in? It's in theirs. So don't let yourself, and I know it's easily done, because we want to give a defense so often, we want to be quick to defend, we want to contend for the truth, which means that we fight for it, not physically, but we stand up for it and speak the truth on it. But we forget sometimes that if someone is saying, well, that's what the Bible teaches, we need to say, where's the authority for that? Where does the Bible say that? And many of these that we're talking about, there's not even a hint as to the things that we're talking about that they believe. What other references did you put to number six?
I had 2 Timothy 4:1. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing.
The quick and dead. What's that word quick mean in the King James?
Alive.
Yeah, the alive or the living. Right? Those are alive, living and the dead. At his appearing. Now's the time to obey. Why the urgency is set forth in the New Testament that now is the time to obey if folks are going to have some second opportunity or third opportunity or whatever the case may be to obey. Now's the time. When we close our eyes in death and our earthly pilgrimage is no more, there's no more opportunity. As a tree falls, so shall it lie. How you... What condition before God you die in? That's the condition you're going to be raised in. John 5:28-29. Any other thoughts you want to add to number 6? Someone read for us number 7.
When Jesus comes, He will establish His kingdom.
I think we've talked about this one several times, but again, that was included on this timeline that I put on the board for you. The kingdom, sometimes in the Bible, not every time, but sometimes, is equated to what?
Church.
The church. Not every time. You got to be careful about that, because sometimes the kingdom is talked about when He's not talking about the church. Someone give us an example of when He talks about the kingdom, but He is talking about the church.
Matthew 16:18-19.
Okay. How would you use that, Greg, to show that the kingdom and the church there is interchangeable?
Jesus talks to him and says, "I also said to you that you're Peter, on this rock I will build my church. And against the Hades will not prevail against it." Verse 19. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of the sun. But heaven, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. If you loose on earth, you will be loosed in heaven."
Okay.
And verse 28.
Okay. What's that saying?
Well, just I'm standing here to see the kingdom.
God. The kingdom of God come. I think about Acts chapter 15 and in verse 22, a use of the word kingdom when He's not talking about the church. Confirm the souls of the disciples. Acts 14:22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Do we enter into the church by much tribulation? No, through faith, repentance, confession, baptism. We enter into the body. Well, this is talking about heaven. And sometimes it's talking about rule. And so we just got to be careful about that, about the word, and make sure that we're using it and the way that the Bible uses it. Well, when Jesus comes, He will establish His kingdom. Well, how do you answer that?
He already established His kingdom.
He already established His kingdom. You know, a lot of these are really the consequence to it is they're dethroning the Lord. They're pulling Him off His throne. If we say that He's not reigning, that He's not established a kingdom, and He can't be on the throne, because if He's on the throne, that means what?
He's
got a kingdom. He's a king. As a king, He's ruling, reigning. We touched on that last week. But He's already established. Now, Ray, how would we go about showing someone that He has already established the kingdom?
Like you said before, you're going to have to... If you're able to show them when he's talking about the kingdom, at times he's talking about the church, then you go to the point where they establish the church, and say the church was established here.
Good. Right. Just basically point those simple passages out. How did some of the other ones? How did you answer that? How would you show someone that He already established the kingdom? Greg pointed out, I will build my church.
Colossians 1:13 says He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Out of Barton.
Daniel prophesied that in Daniel chapter 7, verse 15, when it says, verse 13 says, "I saw in that vision, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days. They brought Him near before Him. There was given Him dominion, glory, and a kingdom." Having reference to Christ's ascension after His death at that time. I think Peter deals with that in Acts chapter 2. God had made Him Lord and King. Just fulfilling Daniel's prophecy. But when He returned after His death, at that moment, the kingdom was given to Him.
Okay.
Good. You know, you can always show those passages that show that it's going to be in the future. And in the present, there's a ton of passages that show that it's in the future. As Sil pointed out, Daniel 7:14, and
they used words that there was given him at that present time.
And at the time that Daniel quoted that, that was still a future event. In Daniel 2:44, we're all familiar with Isaiah 2:1-5. Although even in the New Testament, it was very pointed out, Matthew 16:18, I will build. Walt pointed out verse 28, it's parallel to Mark 9:1. Some will not die or taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. And then John the Baptist, Matthew 3:2, and what the Lord preached in Matthew 4:17. All those are in the future. It is coming. I will build. I'm going to establish. But then, what's the dividing line that from up to this time, it was always going to be in the future, but from that time on, it's always talking about it's in the present. What passage, what book and chapter would you put here?
Acts 2.
That's when the kingdom was established, or the church was established. It said it would come with power. You will receive power after that. The Holy Spirit has come upon you. In Luke 24 and Acts 1. And so they were told, don't depart from the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. They went back and were in the city of Jerusalem, Acts 2, and did verse 1. They received the Holy Spirit, preached the gospel, people obeyed it, the Lord added them to the church. From that point on, it's always spoken of as being present. Not off in the future, as though it was never established, and it's a ton of passages. Talk about Acts 5:11. Great fear came upon the church, and as upon many as heard these things. Acts 8:1. Bells point out Colossians 1:13. Revelation 1:9, when John says, I'm your brother in tribulation and patience and in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's present. Now, guess how many, if we were to put a third column up here and say future, oh, from this point, guess how many references there are saying the church is still out there in the future? Zero. Not a one. You have to have help to misunderstand that. And then you'll have folks who say, well, the church and the kingdom's not the same. The church just kind of was just to give in the interim. It was because the Jews rejected Jesus, and God didn't know that. So He said, well, now that I can't set up my kingdom because they kept Jesus from doing it, I will set up the church to last until He comes back and set up the kingdom. Again, you know what the problem with that is?
Not true.
Not true. And a lot of people may believe that, but that doesn't make it true. Anyone else have something you want to add to number 7?
A lot of times, Bill, you said that makes some questions, ask them if Jesus is a king. Okay. Now, those who profess to believe, I don't know one who doesn't believe that. So when they say, yes, he's a king, then he's a king of what? And then they answer that question.
I didn't have this down. Didn't write it down. But you know, Christ, when He was on trial, you know, He spoke, His kingdom is not of this earth.
Really?
He didn't say it will not be of this earth, or He says my kingdom is not of this earth.
Good job. John 18:36. Good. I'll give you some other passages. We're going to take the time to look these up. A passage over in Jeremiah 22. Jesus was of the tribe of what?
Judah.
Of Judah. Of the lineage of David, and it was prophesied that God would raise one up of the seed, of course, of Abraham, that would sit on the throne of David. But in the book of Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 24 through the end of the chapter, it was prophesied and this stated, "As I live, saith the Lord, though Coniah the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence." And down in verse 28, "Is this man Coniah despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." Now watch verse 30. "Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah." Well, how on earth could Jesus fit the bill as reigning in Judah on the earth when this passage says that that's not going to happen? Of course, you go to Matthew 1 and show that Jesus was of the lineage of David and child of Judah and so forth. But Jesus is reigning on a throne, and it was told that he would be given the throne of David, Acts chapter 2. Well, if his throne was not going to be on the earth, but yet he's on the throne of David, then where is the throne of David? Yeah, it's in heaven, not on the earth. So anyway, that's Jeremiah 22. You can write that down and have that to go along with that. We'll stop there. Anyone have anything else they want to add to it? That was just the first bill. I think I gave to you last week, 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus would reign until all enemies were put under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so as long as death is still taking place, Jesus is still reigning, because his reign is going to be until the last enemy is destroyed, and that's death. Any thoughts, comments? Next week we'll start with number 8. At death, so simply go to sleep and know nothing. You think there are some Bible passages that make reference to the soul of man after he has died, and whether or not he knows anything? Think about that and answer those questions. The Lord willing, we'll do 8, 9, and 10 at our next class next Wednesday. I appreciate your good attention.